Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Happy Friday, everybody. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. Just a couple of guys wearing sweaters right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants
Not ugly
chat
sweater day.
On Twitter. No, these are nice sweaters. They're sweaters nonetheless.
Because you need them.
Giants, yeah, it's cold out there.
Woo!
It is cold out there, and it will not be cold out there on Sunday, but it will be rainy out there on Sunday, and we'll talk about that as we preview the Giants and Lions right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Then, of course, we'll take your calls as well, and we'll preview, play Fiegel's game.
Woo!
Do you remember who your teammates were? And we'll go from there. All right.
Sometimes.
Here we go. Giants and Lions, and Jeff, I don't get the sense from the players and the coaches, and I want to stress that
to
fans out there. I do not get the sense from the locker room. What I'm about to say, I do get the sense from people that are covering the team and from people that are fans of the team that they're a little too sure of themselves about beating the Detroit Lions this week.
Because?
They're coming off a huge win against the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly.
They don't see a lot of big names on the Lions roster. I feel like if Calvin Johnson was playing in this game.
Yeah, it would be hyped up a little bit more.
It would be hyped up a lot more. But, you know, we're not seeing that. So I get the feeling, and again, not from the players and coaches, but I don't like the fact that people around the team seem to be sleeping on Detroit a little bit because
right.
This team is 9-4, same record as the Giants, and in a lot of ways, Jeff, the
same.
Teams are mirror images of each
they
other.
They really are. They both can't run the football. They both play good defense, good quarterbacks that come back and keep them in games. I mean, Stafford, look at what he's done this year, bringing the team back. We've done a great job. But, yeah, but you know what? One thing. As long as the players and coaches aren't sleeping on this game, then we don't have to worry about it. All the other people can talk about it. And that's why, John, because of the game that they came off of the Cowboys.
Right. Flying
it's
high.
Just a natural kind of tendency
right.
to feel that way. And really, you have to throw a little caution to the wind because sometimes it does happen in the locker room when you come up from a huge win like that. And then to a team, but you got to look at this team. And this team is kind of just, you know, blue collar. They get it done. You know, they don't have a lot of great players here and there, but, you know, you go down this roster and start looking at some of these names. We recognize their names, but Anquan Boldin, I mean, Eric Ebron, you know, Golden Tate, they're not your perennial Pro Bowl guys, but they can still play some football.
And more importantly, defensively, where they've really been phenomenal. I mean, they don't have Dominic Nsue anymore. They don't have Nick Fairley anymore. But Darius Slay's an excellent player. Glover Quinn's an excellent player.
Sure.
Tahir Whitehead has more than 100 tackles this year. He's a good player. And then people, again, they know Ziggy Ansah's name. Guess what? He has zero sacks.
Yeah.
Does anybody know who the hell Kerry Hyder is? He has 8 sacks this year.
Yeah.
8.
None of them do. No. And this defense, you know, this is going to be a good matchup. And that's what we always talk about, John's matchups. How, you know, last week we always said the Cowboys and the Giants match up well against the Cowboys.
Thought that might have been mitigated by JPP's absence, but Okwara played well enough that wasn't a factor.
And really, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk about the game, and I won't a lot, but I mean, really, those guys really did step up. They played an amazing game. And really, when you talk about the next man up, that's a pure definition of what happened right there with him stepping up.
And the Giants secondary did a phenomenal job. I was talking about this on Tuesday. I had a chance on Monday. I took time out of the day. I said, John, you'll stay late today. I don't care. I watched every single Giants defensive snap on all 22 coaches tape. It wasn't anybody open. I mean,
it's not like
Dak Prescott was missing open receivers
sure.
or didn't see guys that were open. I mean, maybe Bryce Butler once at Eli Apple beat deep out of the slot. Maybe,
but for long.
But there was a single high safety that
that's what I meant.
That could have came over anyway. So that secondary play by the Giants last week was phenomenal.
Just have continued to do well. I just think that Landon Collins has been a huge part of this because I just feel like his presence on the field – he can tackle, he can defend passes, he can intercept passes, gives Steve Spagnuolo a lot of confidence, him coming in the box and being able to pressure. You know, this week, what are we going to see out of this defense? I mean, they're going to change it up a little bit, I would imagine. I just don't understand, and maybe it's not as serious as I think it is, but if I'm a quarterback and I've got a hurt finger, how am I going to be throwing the football when it's wet? It's not going to be cold, it's going to be in the 50s. But wet footballs and grip – I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think we're going to know until we show up on Sunday and see how he throws the
ball. It's probably just window dressing. Oh, everything's, yeah. You know.
Who knows?
But I still think that that's going to be an issue. I really do.
He could be fine or it could be a big problem. And there's really no way to know until we get into a game. And the Giants can't game plan assuming there's going to be a problem.
No.
So you go in and you see what happens.
And that glove will help a little bit for grip, you know, and that's why he went to it last week. But again, you know, he does. That's not something he usually has. Is throwing a glove on his throwing hand?
And they're saying that there's only a finger and padding on the one that's hurt. The other ones are all bare. So we'll see how that special fancy glove works out. Giants getting healthier. That's a good thing. Only two players have been out of practice this week. Jason Pierre-Paul, who we expect is not going to play for a while now. And then, of course, you have Keenan Robinson, who I saw him kind of talking to the media yesterday off to the side. I think there's a chance he plays. We'll see if he gets out on practice the next couple of days. Everyone else is questionable.
You got Justin Pugh.
Or rather limited in practice, Justin Pugh. You would hope he can make a return this week. He seemed very confident in that earlier in the week. And we'll see how the other guys come out as well. So you hope the Giants are a little bit healthy. But, Jeff, to me, and this is what I'm going to tell fans in this game. If you're going to the game, I know it's going to be wet. I know you're going to want to go home.
It's not going to be cold, though.
Do not leave this game early. Because these two teams have been cardiac kids this year, especially the Detroit Lions. The Lions and Giants have the first and second most games this year decided by 7 points or fewer. The Lions have had 12, and the Giants have had 10. The Lions are 8-4 in those games. The Giants are 8-2, which explains their identical 9-4 records. Go a little bit deeper into the numbers here, Feegs. Fourth quarter game-winning drives. Stafford has 8. Eli Manning has 5. And to put a little cherry on top here for Giant fans, and for Lion fans for that matter, the Lions have trailed in the fourth quarter, in every single game this year, except for one. Okay. And they're 9-4. That's ridiculous.
And find that stat where the Giants' defense, what they've done in the fourth quarter with teams trying to come back on them. Did you see that one little nugget
not,
in here?
Actually. I missed that one.
It's in here. It's really good, by the way.
I think it's a little deeper.
It's on defense.
Yeah.
Okay, so and it goes right along with what you just said, John. Okay. Right here. Giants defense is good at closing out games this season. Giants opponents have yet to score a TD in 7 drives with the chance to tie or take the lead in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. So,
I mean, you saw that in the Rams game. We saw that in the Cowboys game. The Bengals, I think, had a chance late. The Ravens had a chance late. So they've done a great job of that.
And remember what happened last year. You know, they were losing 5 of those games last year.
More than that.
So, you know, equation here. Get up in this game defensively, you're going to be able most likely can stop this defense or this offense for the Lions, according to that. But according to what you just said, the Lions are good at coming back on you.
They are. But I do suspect this is going to be a close, low-scoring game. I mean, this has 17-14, 20-17, 21-20 written all over it. These are the top 2 scoring defenses in the league since Week 7. The Giants allowing 16.1 points per game. The Lions, 16.4. The Lions haven't allowed a team to score more than 20 points against them in 7 weeks. And you say, well, John, who'd they play? Did they play anybody that was any good?
Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, they played the Redskins and they played the Saints.
Okay, there you go.
So, yeah, they're pretty good. They're only top 5 offenses in the league, folks. And that was, by the way, in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Not in Detroit. So.
And Giants, they don't score.
This is going to be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sledding, and it's going to be close, and it's going to be tight. And to me, it's whichever team makes that big play offensively or makes that big mistake offensively or defensively that's going to lose this game. This game is going to be, to me, about discipline. It's going to be about not blowing an assignment, not throwing an interception, not fumbling the football, or some guy going above the X's and O's to make a terrific play to score a touchdown or to get an interception. That's what this is going to come down to. Now, I like the Giants' high-end playmakers better, which is why I think they have the advantage. You know, Beckham on offense, obviously, and then, you know, the Landon Collins, Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon on defense. I like those stars better than the Lions' stars, but the Lions have won this year by playing sound football. They do not give the football away.
They're plus 7.
They're plus 7. They only, I think, have 10 or 11 giveaways all year long, which is one of the top numbers in the league. So they will make you earn this win. They ain't going to give it to you.
Exactly. And really, when you look offensively, this is where you have to be very good with the football, because, you know, if you're going to turn it over, this Lions team will capitalize on that, especially in the second half and in the fourth quarter. This team comes back on you and plays hard. Their offensive line is pretty good. They've given up 10 sacks in the last four games, which isn't a whole lot, I guess, but there is some ability to get to the quarterback. I really think how this game is, this throwing hand of Stafford, is going to affect the passing game. If it does, the running game for the Detroit Lions is not good. So if they have to depend on that, then the Giants can win this game outright.
Yeah, and I do think that the one weakness you're going to find with the Lions on offense is their offensive line. That's why they don't run the ball particularly well.
Correct.
They, along with the Giants, are two of the worst rushing teams in football, and that's why Stafford's getting rid of the ball so quickly, because they do get pressure if he holds it.
Sounds like the Giants.
Doesn't it? Like I said, these two teams are mirror images of each
other
in a lot of ways. So I think whichever defensive line can get home and make some plays could also play a big factor in this
game. And when you look at the two teams' records and you talk about the importance of each one of these, this game to each one of them, you look at the Lions, who want to try to win that division and get a bye at the number two seed.
And by the way, the season ended today.
They would be number two?
Before last night's game, they would have a bye. I'm not sure what that Seattle one does, because they have an uneven
That's
amount
right.
of games.
Yeah,
but bottom
that.
Line, going into this week, Lions had the second best record in the conference.
Sure. And then you look at the Giants. The Giants are still there to a point where, you know, you just can't you can't rest on your laurels here. I mean, you really – I think that, you know, 10 – possibly could get you in, but 11 will definitely get you in. So, and you look at the two division games behind this game, we can look ahead, John. The other guys can't. But, you know, with the Eagles in the last game against the Redskins. So, and we look at the Lions' schedule going forward is murderer's row.
I know they closed the season in Green Bay. Do they have to play Minnesota again before the season ends?
No, they actually play the Cowboys.
That's right. They
play us, the Giants, Cowboys, and Packers.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, you know.
That's not good.
Of those three teams.
In Dallas, home versus Green Bay, by the way.
Wow. So, very big game for both teams.
Now, the thought here is if the Cowboys clinch things up this week against Tampa, who knows what they're going to have to play for the last couple of weeks, too.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, we won't get into that. But I think that these guys, you know, the Cowboys. If they do, so what happens if Washington, what's the deal with the Cowboys? How can they clinch?
Cowboys win, Lions, you know what? They can clinch a bye this week, but they cannot clinch the number one seed, because either the Lions or Giants would still be two games behind them.
And they would clinch the division.
Yes, correct.
If they would, okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
If the Giants, if the Cowboys win, Giants lose, Cowboys do clinch the NFC East, and they clinch a bye.
Gotcha. Okay. Well. You know, is there a way that the Giants could get a home game out of this if they go to the playoffs?
Yeah, they would have to win the division. The Cowboys would have to – they'd have to pick up two games on Dallas in the final three. So to make it simple, the Cowboys' magic number is two. Any combination of Cowboys wins and Giants losses, if it gets to two,
done.
Cowboys win the division.
Gotcha.
It's that simple.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys can lose this week.
Sure they could. Home versus Tampa.
I mean, I feel like Tampa's defense is really good lately.
It has been playing good football.
And the Cowboys have gone against two really good defenses here in the last couple weeks with the Giants and the even though they won the game against Minnesota, but you can see how that offense for the Cowboys has struggled against good defenses. So I can see them losing this game in Tampa. Is it in Dallas?
It is in Dallas, yes.
Well, we'll see. Who cares?
So as we move ahead here, folks, final thing I'll say about this game before we get to the ultra-busy phones at 201-939-4513 is that even though the Giants right now are in great position in terms of the playoffs, they hold about a two-game lead on all the teams behind them except for the NFC South winner. So they basically have a two-game lead on the teams that are out of the postseason picture right now. I'm talking about the Redskins. I'm talking about the Packers. I'm talking about the Vikings. All right? So as long as they stay ahead of all those.
What about Tampa?
They're only one game ahead of Tampa.
Right.
Or / Atlanta, whoever doesn't win that division.
Gotcha.
So the Giants are in great position right now to earn a playoff spot, whether it's the division, whether it's the first wild card or the second wild card, they're in great shape. But if they lose this game and they go to 9-5, you have two tough games on the road in the division where you got to win one out of two if you want to make the playoffs. And
don't want to put yourself in that position.
I don't want to be in that position.
No.
So you go out there, you take care of business against the Lions.
At home.
Really tough game. Again, I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be really tough. But take care of business so you're not sweating you know what off when you're going into Philly 2 days before Christmas Eve. And then New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, rather, against
you
the Washington
You do not
Redskins.
Want that. Giants are 6-1 at home.
Yep.
If they go 7-1, it'll be the first time since 2008 they've done that. So, really, they played well at home. And get that win at home, and then you got a little breathing room on the road against two division opponents, like you said, John. Going on the road is tough places to play on the division. In the division, excuse me. I think... If you had to ask me which is a tougher place to play when I was playing, would be Philadelphia. The Redskins, it's a loud stadium and everything, but it's just not – I feel like the Giants can do better.
They're the better team, though, right now, I think, at least. Washington.
Oh, no question. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it would be nice to be able to win these next two games and then not have to worry about that Washington game.
201-939-4513. Let's get to the calls. I'll take them in the order in which they were received, and that means Drew in Virginia's up first. Drew, good morning. How are you?
Hey, man. Good morning. How you doing, Lance? How you doing, Fields?
This is John and Jeff.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, Drew.
I did say Jeff, but
you said Lance.
Fields. But I did mess up John's name. Sorry about that, man.
I'm crushed. It's okay.
Must have been the sweater.
I'm sure you are, man.
I can do this to look like Lance.
Hey, man, first and foremost, man, I feel like, talking about this upcoming game, man, I honestly feel like we got to win this game against against Detroit because I will tell you, I mean, you already know this, and definitely you, Jeff, those divisional games is tough. And I know we beat Philly earlier this year, but you know how it's been with Philly the last few years.
Yeah.
So this game and this Lions game, we got to get that game because if not, yeah, just like John said, we're going to be up against the wall with both the Redskins and Philly. And because again, you know, once again, it comes down to our offensive line and. You know, we've been struggling. We haven't put up have we put up more than 27 points at any time of this year?
No.
I think
25 or 26 might be the number. But we also haven't rushed for over 100 yards, a player rushed for over 100 yards. The team has rushed for over 100 yards, but we haven't had one player rush for 100 yards yet.
Neither of the Lions, I don't think,
no,
either. Right? I think they
either.
Go back to early last year since they've – was it even
both
14?
Both these teams
maybe,
are
even.
At the bottom.
Yeah. Drew, neither one of these teams is going to ground and pound, which is why I think when I talked about teams making that big mistake, it's going to be raining. The ball will be slick. Ball control issues, whether it's carrying it or throwing it or catching it. That's why those little things are going to have huge impact on the game on Sunday.
Yeah, and I honestly feel like we can win this division. I mean, I'm sorry, win this game Sunday.
Of course you can.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do feel good about it. But
good.
the division games most definitely scare me. I will tell you right now, man, this defense. You know, I didn't get a chance to call in at all this week, but I just want to say something, man.
Sure.
This defense I thought was one of the best defensive performances I've seen all year, and you know, luckily we've seen a lot of Giants games on TV down here in my area because you know this is Redskins area. But it's one of the best defensive games I've seen this team play all year. So
it
I have
certainly
to give
did.
Them,
yeah,
I definitely have to give you know give them kudos, man.
And Drew, by the way, not even just this year, last 10 years. That's how good that defensive performance was. It was as good as I've seen since back to those really good defenses in 2008, 2009.
No question. Just all over the place, big, you know, physical football, making tackles, not a lot of missed assignments. And like John had said, I don't know if you said it on the air, everybody was covered.
Yeah.
I
mean, it was a perfect game that these guys played. It really was.
And you know, you could tell that they wanted this game. And so, you know, my point getting back into this again, you know, we have to bring that same intensity because, you know, I think even the Giants know they cannot afford to drop this game and then have to rely on those two divisional games because they're going to be extremely tough, man, especially, again, with our offensive woes, man. Two more things I want to say real quick,
Drew.
I'll just get off the air, man. I just got a question and a comment with regards to Is there a requirement that we have to agree with you guys when we call in? And I say this from the standpoint.
Yes,
that,
of course, Drew. We must all agree on everything. Have you listened to the show?
That's a requirement.
That is a ridiculous question.
No, I mean, I know that it was more or less a sarcastic question as well, too.
In regards to what?
Because I feel like, you know, like earlier this week, man, especially with the Tino, you know, there's this attitude that, you know, we can't, we have to agree with you know, whatever it is that you guys say or feel. And, you know,
no, Drew, I want to interrupt you for a second because I know what you're talking about. Charlie called in earlier in the week, and he gave two incorrect stats, and they corrected his incorrect stats. Charlie argued, but factually, the numbers he gave were incorrect. He said Eric Flowers had allowed more sacks than any other player this year. Wrong. That's wrong. And he had said that he was penalized more than any other offensive lineman this year. That is wrong. So you aren't allowed to call in and give wrong facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that. You're allowed to have whatever opinion you want and debate what you want, but you can't call in and give wrong facts and not expect the people sitting in these two seats to correct them.
And then try to argue your point.
Of course.
Right. Okay. So that's not really the only issue that I was calling in about. I mean, I did hear the Charlie argument, but I'm just talking about overall in general. You know, I just feel like there's this attitude that, you know, hey, look, this is what we said, and you guys need to shut up. Let me just finish what I'm saying real quick, man. You know. Like, you know, again, when the entire fan base is seeing the same thing, and we're talking about Flowers, when the entire fan base is seeing the same thing and we're constantly being told our lying eyes aren't seeing that, yeah, that kind of gets, you know, offensive.
Wait, Drew, time out. When did we say you guys were lying about Eric Flowers?
We ain't say lie. I'm talking about in terms of the way we view Flowers versus the way you guys view Flowers. Is what I'm saying.
When did anybody here tell you Eric Flowers is a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle?
Nobody said he was a Pro Bowl caliber.
Well, then what did somebody say? Let me finish my point.
Okay, that's this high defensive stance that you guys take with him. But I'm not going to get in because you know we could sit here and argue that all day.
I want you to give the specific example of what we said about Eric Flowers that's insulting to you.
What I'm saying is this, okay? When we have called him, we said Eric Flowers has been one of the worst players of one in terms of that right side. Okay, I'm sorry, that left side. He is a bad player, and you guys keep saying, well, pro football focus this and that. I don't care about what Pro Football Focus says because I'm not looking at all the other teams. I'm looking at the Giants.
Yeah, but Drew, you realize Pro Football Focus has him rated very poorly. Not well.
Well, every time we turn around, I believe you guys are quoting his stats with Pro Football Focus.
I am? When did I do that?
I don't remember, John. So, yeah, okay. But I'm just telling you that we have our opinions, too. But at any rate, I'm going to leave that. I do feel strong. This is why I don't call in with Paul Dottino. But, you know, that's a different story.
No, but you're
at any
you
rate,
like,
let
no,
me
but
press on with last one other
all
question.
Right, let's go.
I just want to make this, and this is a shout-out. This is actually a good thing, man. You know, we lost Craig Sager, and so I just want to give a shout-out to him and quote something he said, and I'll just leave with that. Time is simply how you live your life. Well said. I didn't know the man personally, but I will tell you right now, man, listening to his struggles, everything, you know, all this year and, you know, last year, I will tell you right now, me personally, he touched me because I kind of went through cancer and chemo treatments. I didn't go to nothing nowhere near, and I can't even compare my treatment with his because his was rough. And I will tell you that man put up a courageous fight. And so I just want to give a shout out to him.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate the call. Have a good one, man.
Keep calling in.
And we're happy that you're doing well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, look, we take calls for 45 minutes to get your opinions. That's why we're here. Now, we might disagree with your opinions.
And we can.
And we might debate with you on topics. But isn't that why we're here?
Yeah, we're not going
to. The whole point isn't just to go to a call, let them talk for 5 minutes, not comment on it, and go to the next one.
Yeah, or shoot them down every time they call because we think that they're wrong.
No, absolutely not. And look, no one's sitting here trying to tell you that Eric Flowers has played a great left tackle this year. We're certainly not saying that. But the question is, what's the solution to the problem? You can disagree. Let me put it this way. You can agree that there's a problem, but disagree on what the solution is or if there is a good solution to the problem.
Fine.
And that, I think, is where the disagreement is. I mean, we take calls every day with
people
that
disagree
with us.
There's no question that's where the problem
is. And we enjoy
it. It's the latter of the two. Not that we agree or disagree that he's not having a good year.
I mean, David Deal's been on the show criticizing his technique and Sean O'Hara a bunch of times.
And no better people to do it. They played the position.
Absolutely.
And so they understand what he has to do to get better. And we're not saying that he doesn't need to get better. We're just basically trying to have our opinion on something. Remember that you guys are entitled to your opinions no matter what. That's why we like to take the calls, and we'll respond the way we like to.
That's why we do the show.
Yeah, that's why it's fun.
The whole point is to debate. I mean, that's the good part of the show.
And honestly, the callers have a lot of great points.
A lot of great points, absolutely.
So we don't discourage anybody from calling in because that they think they're going to get ridiculed for their answers or their questions. No way. It's good.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Charles in New Mexico. He's up next. Charles, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, Charles.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing great, Charles. How are you?
I'm good. So, I'm listening to the callers all week. I've called in once. I think we're not going to overlook Detroit. I think the offensive line, if Pugh comes back, is going to start gelling a little bit better.
Yep.
And get on Flowers, get the running game going, especially against Detroit and Philadelphia. I think we can really do that. And, I mean, let me ask you guys something. All season, I think maybe the biggest point that we've been missing on the offense is there's no fullback. What do you guys think?
Well, we've had that discussion before. One of the reasons why they're in that 11 personnel so much, because they don't have a fullback. I honestly, in my opinion, I believe that the Giants wanted to keep a fullback at the beginning of the season. He went on IR, and they just decided that they were going to continue without him. And it's just really, I mean, a fullback, it would help this offense. I believe it would. You just can't have a lineman come in there and play fullback, like they do sometimes, because they're not fullbacks. Fullbacks either, they know how to be a fullback. A lineman knows how to be a lineman. I like what the Giants did a little bit last week, running the football, even though they don't have the fullback, but they had Eli Manning was going under center. Okay, they got their running game, and by the way, the Giants ran the football more than they passed the football last week, which is a good trend, and trying to make some positive strides in that category.
Now, you would have liked to have better yards per carry with those 30-something carries, but at least the volume was there, which is a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah. They had to do that against the Cowboys offense because, keeping the Cowboys offense off the field was key to that victory last week. And no overlooking Detroit. You guys said it's going to be rainy and cold. Well, not cold, 50 degrees.
Yeah, give or take 50. That sounds about right.
It's supposed to rain.
So, I mean, let's get out to a big lead. Let's show the rest of the NFL. Let's start gelling and make this push finally to the playoffs after 4 years it's been suffering.
No question.
I agree with you, Jeff. I think the Cowboys are going to have a hard time with the Buccaneers on Sunday night. Yep. So if we do what we do, we put some pressure on them by, taking care of Detroit, beating Philly on Thursday night. And who knows, maybe Detroit, we can take care of them, but they'll come back on a Monday night and beat the Cowboys. And before you know it, we'll all be smiles for Christmas. You know what I'm talking about, guys?
Yeah, and I will tell you that right now everybody is high on the Giants because of what they've done to get to beating the Cowboys twice this year.
In fact, I was watching ESPN this morning walking through our studio real quick, and Teddy Bruschi was up there doing his top five teams in the NFC list. Guess who was number one?
Really?
No way.
NYG.
No way for him.
I didn't see that.
But my point there is, too, is that if the Giants want to make that statement to the rest of everyone – that are putting him number one in their list, and this, they win this game.
Correct.
They win this game to kind of validify and put a stamp on what they did last week, beating the 11-1 Cowboys.
You know what I consider it like, Charles? You know when you get like an official document signed and you have to go get it notarized?
Yeah.
They have the document. It's
signed.
They're
gonna get notarized.
It just hasn't gotten notarized yet. The win against Detroit is going to the notary.
Yeah.
Get it done. Otherwise, people don't take the signed document quite as seriously as they do before it gets notarized.
And the office is MetLife Stadium. Go to the office over there and get it stamped.
I agree with you guys there. I think, everybody's harping on Eric Flowers, how he shouldn't be in there. I think, this is his second year, and you made a point, John, that in the offseason now there's no high ankle sprain, and he was nursing that back. And in the offseason, I think he'll get better towards the stretch run here, but next year we really expect big things from him, don't you think?
Yes.
Hey, look, Eric Flowers has to improve, and I think probably he was better than he was last year, but I think we expected more improvement than we've seen
from
him.
No question. And that third year is the third year is an important year for somebody. That's a year that you have to, like, okay, we've given you 3 years now, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. He knows that. He'll tell you that. But I will tell you this. You know, he's been playing without Justin Pugh. And yeah. I know that Justin Pugh being back in the lineup will help him. I know that you're probably saying, well, how's it going to help him in pass protection? Just having him next to him, I'm telling you, will make a huge psychological difference for this guy.
It will, but at the same time, he does have to take care of his own business.
No question. There's no question.
I agree with
about
it.
That.
I agree with that totally. You guys, thank you. You do a
you're
great
welcome.
Job. Appreciate the
thank
show.
You, Charles.
And New Mexico loves the Giants.
Yeah,
thanks,
good
Charles.
Stuff. Thank
appreciate
you.
It, man. 201-939-4513. We met Mark in Chicago at MetLife Central a few weeks ago. Mark, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Mark.
Doing great, guys. You had to bring up that one loss. That was the game I was at. Now, I just hope that game isn't the one that's going to kill us in the playoff run here. So
you were what, Washington?
But, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a little bit of a mental meltdown in that game. So anyway, I do want to talk about Flowers, but let's just take a breather for a second. One thing, John, I wanted to compliment you and the Giants.com team for the photos that you bring up on the opponents every week. For those of us who go back to the 50s, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, the Rams, Chicago, these are all the teams that we watched growing up. And the only suggestion I could make is if you could maybe put the year and maybe who the guy is in the photo. I don't know if the archives are that detailed, but, you know, you see number 89 way back when, and you're like, is that Bob Tucker or is that, you know, Bavaro or somebody like that?
All right, so, Mark, I appreciate the suggestion, and I will – fully give credit to other people. I got nothing to do with those photos. So I will give credit. I will give all the credit in the world to, you know, Dave Dominic and the guys upstairs that, you know, do all that nitty gritty stuff on the website. Doug Murphy upstairs keeps the archive of all the old photos and everything.
You have a list of all.
So
don't you have a list of those?
And honestly, I don't know if they have the names of the players and all the photos. I think they probably just have the photos. But if they do, Mark, I'll ask about it and I'll see what we can do. All right.
Could be a good. Could be a good trivia question.
But. Let me talk about Eric Flowers in my view. I called the other day with Dottino, and I got cut off because they were running a little late. In terms of what Drew was referring to the other day, Dottino and Deal mentioned how they didn't think Flowers played that badly against Dallas. He graded out at a certain grade. It was like 70% or something like that in the Pro Football Focus. And the thing I think that Drew is sort of referring to is that you know, at times, Dottino says you can't look at what Pro Football Focus says because they don't know the context
right.
of everything. But then he brings up the score that shows he isn't doing that poorly.
Right.
So I think that's where he's referring to. But I'll give you my assessment, my scoring. I don't do it in a number grade, but I call it lousy.
Well, Mark,
the guy is playing lousy football.
And Mark, that's
you
fair.
Know,
and
you talk about how guys can take over a position because of an injury and – Deals talked about how guys grade in practice in terms of whether they play or not during the game. What about your grading during the game? I mean, that's like the ultimate grading system. And when a guy gives up two holding penalties in the first quarter against Pittsburgh, and one is a deep throw to Beckham that gets called back, and like three or four plays later gets called for a safety, that was almost like the turning point of the game. And that's in the first quarter. So I don't know what Solari is as a line coach, but if I was the line coach, I'd be ripping this guy something out on the sideline. And I'd take him out for a series of two and put somebody else in there and say, look at what this guy is doing, and hopefully it's better. Now go back out there and do the same thing, or if you can't do it, we'll put the other guy back in.
Now, Mark,
we're going for the playoffs here, and you need your five best guys out there. Maybe with Pugh coming back, to me, he's probably our best skilled lineman. I think he's got the size to play left tackle. But if this is such a glaring hole that Eli has to have a swivel on his head because he doesn't know where the rush is coming from, then you make a change. And, you know, I know these guys like continuity, but, you know, next year we could have a bunch of injuries. And I don't care whether it's his third year next year. I want to win this year.
No, Mark, and look, I totally understand where you're coming from, but a couple issues with that. One, Pugh's coming off of an injury and a knee injury. So that's going to affect your lateral side-to-side movement. What do you need when you're playing left tackle? And especially when you're backing up and backpedaling.
No,
when you hurt your MCL, Jeff, what is affected? It's moving backwards.
Yep.
And that's the side to side. So I would be very leery of doing something like that so late in the year when he's coming off of injury. You know, Marshall Newhouse is not a natural left guard. He's just not. You saw Sean Lee run right past him when he pulled on a couple of those plays in the running game against Dallas. So do you really want to weaken your left guard position for an unknown improvement at left tackle? I mean, Pugh hasn't been at left tackle since, what, last year, end of training camp, when Flowers hurt his ankle? Mm-hmm. So do we really know that Pugh will be that much better than Flowers at left tackle? I don't think we do, and I think we're pretty darn sure whomever they replace Pugh with is not going to be close to the player Justin Pugh is. So there is a large level of risk. I'm not saying you can't do it, but considering there's only three regular season games left, I think you're talking about a real large level of risk and uncertainty, especially since the team is 9-4. If the team's 8-7 and they're, you know, on the verge of making the playoffs and things have been going horribly wrong, do you try maybe things that are more drastic? I get that. It's hard for me to mess things up too much when you're sitting there at 9-4. You know what I'm saying, Mark?
I do, but in the other context, you know, try it for a series or two and see what the heck happens, because, you know, you never know. And I think Pugh's skills, I think, are such that if his knees can hold up, I think he could probably do the job.
Yeah, but so, here's the thing. Let me have my comment in this. You know, with Justin Pugh, he's coming off an injury, and you're wanting to get him for the run. So don't want to do anything to jeopardize an injury to that guy again. So
I get it. That's a coaching decision.
The bottom line
injury
to me is that you take this Flowers and just take him aside and just say, listen, you've got to play better. We need to see more out of you in practice and more out of you in a game, or, you know, maybe they're going to bench him a series. I don't know. But the bottom, he has to play better, and he's got to know that. And, you know, a lot of times that comes from the guys around him to get, you know, to say, hey, come on, Eric, let's go, man. We got
to
get this
thing
going.
It's almost more important to have a sense of responsibility, Mark, sometimes inside the room from your teammates.
No question.
Than it is coming from the coaches. Remember, the Giants already have changed offensive line coaches once since Flowers has been here, so he's had two different voices in his ear, too.
I can tell you this from playing in the league as long as I did. You know, there's coach talk, and then there's coach talk, and then there's players talk. The players listen to players a lot more before they listen to the coaches, trust me.
Well,
it's just because
I just
they
hope
just
there's a guy, somebody out there that can light a fire under this guy's butt
to get
him moving forward. So,
Mark, from
anyway,
your lips to God's
guys,
ears, man.
Thanks for letting me vent and get it off my chest.
No problem,
Mark. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
201-939-4513. Russell in Alaska wants to keep the conversation going, same topic. Russ, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm listening to what everybody was saying. There's a couple of things. I want to predict the Giants-Lions game. I think it's going to be Giants 17 and Lions 10. I think the defense is going to win this game again because, you know, Matt Smith had like a little injury. So
very possible.
That's a good score. I could see that happening.
Yeah, it's huge. So the thing about Eric Flowers, and I've been watching the game. I watched the Steelers game. I watched the Cowboy game. And I'm wondering, y'all said every 3 years it takes time for a player to develop. So I'm saying, we don't have 3 years right now. We have now. Right now, we're going to the playoffs. In livelihood, we had a high chance of going to the playoffs. I don't know why did we sign Beedy. That's what I'm like. Where's Beedy at? We can't put Beedy out there at left tackle and put Flowers on the bench and say, hey, this is what Beedy's doing. I know we don't want to move Justin Pugh to left tackle, but we still have Beedy. And you can put Flowers at right tackle, even though it's going to mess up Hart. But I think Flowers is a better right tackle than left tackle. That's what I'm saying. Like, I understand, like we saying, Paul Patino, I like PDOT. So I understand I've been listening. I'm in Alaska, and I'm listening to everything going on. But if you're playing like garbage, you need to be bitched. And he's been playing like garbage. It was one time in last year, and JPP said, I tried to train with him, but he doesn't want to train. But I train with Bobby Hart, and Bobby Hart listens. So I'm like, okay, what's going on with Flowers? He don't want to be a left tackle? Because if he's not doing the job, then put Beedy out there. Even put Newhouse out there. If he's gonna play like that, bench him for one game. It could be the Redskins game, the Philly game. Because if the Giants beat the Lions game, it's a high percent chance they're going to the playoffs. Because I don't think the Redskins is gonna beat Carolina. I just got a feeling they're gonna lose that game. You put Beedy or Newhouse out there to play left tackle, and you know maybe a benching will wake him up, saying okay, I need to play better.
Now, Russell, I want to add something real quick, and I've evolved on this, admittedly. You know, when he first got drafted, I was one of the first people, you know, he's projected as more of a right tackle than a left tackle, and I do still think you'll probably get some more speed rushers on the left side, and it's the blind side, and I get all that. But I think the way the NFL has evolved over the last couple of years, and again, I've evolved on this too as I've watched a little bit more, I don't think just saying, oh, he'll be fine on the right side, it's an easier position to play, is that panacea it used to be. Because you see some real top-quality pass rushers rushing off right tackle now.
Or left.
Maybe not as much as left, but nearly as much. I mean, I've talked about it a million times. Von Miller lines up over the right tackle. J.J. Watt will line up over the right tackle. Ryan Kerrigan in the Giants division lines up over the right tackle. So you have a lot of really good pass rushers now that line up over the right tackle instead of the left tackle. And a lot of studies that have, you know, been conducted over the past few years really say there isn't much of an advantage rushing the quarterback from the blind side as opposed from the front side.
Yeah.
And the numbers don't really add up. So I've come around on that a little bit in terms of I don't think you can just say, oh, he'll be put him a right tackle, he'll be fine there. I don't know if that's the calculation, especially given the fact Flowers hasn't been in a game at right tackle since his freshman year in college. So it's been about 5 years, I think, since he's played the position. Now, as for Will Beatty, Jeff, I'd like to get your opinion. That's the first time we've heard his name brought up on today's show.
Well, listen, there's a reason why that Will Beatty has not been in a game. Obviously, there's something they see that they're not confident in him being in the game. I mean, that's really, in my opinion, I'm not out of practice every day. I don't see how he practices, but evidently he's not doing what the coaches want him to do in practice. They feel comfortable about putting him in the game.
How about the idea of Newhouse at left tackle?
Well, I think, again, I think that I honestly think that if you're a guy and you're not playing well and something needs to give, it's, you know, give another guy a chance to go in there and play better. Because there's a lot of people sitting on the bench that want to play, and they may play better. Now, it may not be a long-term thing, but it might just be the waking up thing. You know, hey, listen.
Okay.
You know, so who knows?
There you go, Russ. You got Feagles on your side.
I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
And I get up the air. So now I'm going to act like y'all the coaches. Y'all are cool. Y'all been McAdoo right now. You are going. You have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and you liably playing Dallas. And Flowers is playing like hot trash. What would you do? I'll take the answer up there.
Thank you. Well, I'm
not Ben McAdoo, so.
Well, yes, that is also correct. And I don't think that it's to that level right now. To be honest with you, I don't think we're looking at a situation like you have on the Vikings offensive line, for example. You want to talk about hot trash on the offensive line? Go watch a Vikings game. Watch how their offensive line blocks. And again, it's not their fault. They're down to like their third string player at three or four different positions.
Sure.
What are you going to do? I'm not trying to take shots at the Vikings here. That's not my intent. But they've struggled because of all the injuries. They're doing the best they can, but they've struggled. And, you know, I think that's a hypothetical. That's tough to answer. I mean, if you go in there and, you know, you think your franchise is going to get hurt back there, you have to do something. I get that. But, I mean, it's amazing where we've come.
Well,
because just a year ago, Jeff, I got people calling that want to cut Marshall Newhouse. Now I got people that want to start him at left tackle. It's amazing how it's flipped over the last year. You know what I mean?
I
remember I never want to see Marshall Newhouse on the field ever again. Do you know how many of those calls we got last year?
Yeah, and he's
and now he wants to start at left tackle.
Yeah. I think that honestly, when you look at rosters and you look at who's the starters and who are backups, there's a reason for this. There's a reason they're backups. There's a reason they don't play in the games. It's because they're not good enough to start. So right now, your analysis would have to be: is Eric Flowers, the way he's playing, is the guy behind him better than what he's playing now? And do you feel confident that if he goes in the game, that it's not going to be any worse than what Eric Flowers is doing? And I feel like that's the decision that cannot be made right now with the people behind him. Now, Will Beatty hasn't played football in a long time, folks. Okay, he's been in a couple games this season, but he hasn't played, you know, football. And obviously, they don't feel like that Eric Flowers is doing the job that warrants him being taken out of it and replaced by somebody else. So that's why he's still in there. So, anyways,
I had a question here. What is the situation with Will Beatty? How does he look in practice? That's from NH_Giants. I just want to. We've said this before. I want to reaffirm it for people that, you know, obviously you don't listen every minute of every show. So we don't get to watch regular season practices. The last time we saw practice was in training camp. And Will Beatty didn't sign until the end of training camp. So we really haven't seen Will Beatty practice since he's been here.
No.
So we can't really tell you how he's played in practice, which is why we say we have to trust the coaches and what they see from him every day,
of course,
that he's not going to be a better option than Ereck Flowers, why they see him in practice and we don't. I will tell you the God's honest truth here, guys. We've seen as much of Will Beatty playing football this year as you have.
Yeah.
It's that simple. We haven't seen anything more or anything less. We've seen the exact same thing, which is why it's hard for me to come out and say he deserves to be playing over Ereck Flowers when we don't see what Will Beatty does in practice every day.
Yep.
And I guarantee he's playing scout team offensive line.
There's no question.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. Yeah, that's what he has to, because he's not starting.
Right.
And really, you know, Will Beatty or any veteran for any veteran that gets signed and is a backup, they're really there in case something happens to a player that they could feel that has some experience to be able to move in. Not that they're going to replace their number one draft pick 2 years old. You know, it's just not going to happen. He's going to have to just play better. That's it. I mean, and really, I know it sounds very simple.
And trite.
I get it. But really, I mean, that's up to the coaches and himself to correct it.
And guys, look, here's the bottom line. We know it's a problem.
They do too.
It's a tough, tough problem. The issue is that with the roster the way it's constituted, and quite frankly, it's like this on pretty much every NFL team. You don't just have starting left tackles sitting around your bench.
That's why they're franchise players sometimes.
That's why they're the fourth or fifth highest paid position in football.
Right.
They don't grow on trees. They're not sitting on your bench. They're not depth players. You're starting left tackles. You're starting left tackle for a reason.
And really, when they're 11 personnel, if you're going to try to get some help for Ereck Flowers, that means you have to now take one guy out of the passing tree.
Well, not necessarily, because you can chip on your way out, too. And I do think if you want to look for a quote-unquote solution to the problem, to me, I think that's the best way to do it. Where is Flowers getting beat? He's not getting beat inside.
No.
He's getting beat around the edge with speed rush. So what do you do?
Chip.
To prevent the speed rush. You have Will Tye or Jarrell Adams or Larry Donnell, whoever's in the game, take a shot on that defensive end before he gets going outside. Have the running back when he comes out of the backfield in a route.
Definitely
go around that left tackle. And I think if you want to point for a way to fix the problem and you guys are looking for solutions, we're doing our best to give them to you. And trust me, if we knew what they were, we wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be upstairs talking to the coaches. You give a little bit more help. You chip. You do things like that so he doesn't come around the edge. The problem you run to, though, is that then you can't help Bobby Hart, who quite frankly has given up close to as many pressures and had almost as many issues as Ereck Flowers has had.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's why you have a cough button, by the way.
That's it.
So that doesn't go over the air.
Stop.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Jeff in Brooklyn. He's up next on line three. Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Jeff.
How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Jeff. How are you, pal?
Rule, so very happy.
Good.
I wanted to talk about the offense, and we all know what the struggles are, but I didn't see the whole game last week, but from what I'm looking at, do you guys see any room?
I'm sorry, Jeff, can you say that again? Do we see any what? I didn't catch that. Your line cut out.
Movement in the pocket. So, you know, Eli rolling out to kind of for a pass play or just not dropping back and, you know, quick shoot, you know, rolling out, kind of giving his offensive line some time to kind of not hat on the hat, but, you know, move to one side or to the other.
Good question.
To pass the ball. Do you guys see any of that?
You know what? We didn't see a ton of movement. We saw Eli roll out a couple times, but a lot of that was because of pressure. It wasn't designed. And I think the problem you run into, and again, I think it's a great question, because we haven't seen, I don't think Eli move around as much this year as we saw him do last year.
Slide the protection kind of thing.
Yeah, we haven't seen designed rollouts, bootlegs, nakeds, things like that. It's a good question. I'm trying to think. I mean, you can't do it off of play action as much because, quite frankly, no one's going to respect your play action. So if you boot off a play action pass, you almost set up your quarterback to get nailed by, you know, unblocked defensive
They run that play out of shotgun, and then they just, you know, the protection slide, and then Eli will kind of sprint out and hit somebody on the underneath. Or even I've seen Eli go down the sideline long on that play.
And usually
he sets his feet and throws.
And he usually sprints out to his right, because obviously easier for a right-handed quarterback to throw going that direction.
No question. But, you know,
you could see more of that, I guess, right?
Well, I guess because in that sense you would be – avoiding the rush from left side, which is probably what you're getting at, with the pressure coming from Flowers that side.
Flowers, right.
Just to move the protection to slide it to the other side.
Speaking of which, Ziggy Ansah, I mentioned, doesn't have a sack yet this year. Hopefully they'll be able to keep him off the board then, because that'll be a challenging matchup for Flowers at left tackle.
Very fast guy.
Dealing with a back injury all the year, though, too, which is one of the reasons probably why he is.
Because you look
sacks.
At the way he played last year, he was phenomenal. Oh,
double digits,
last year.
He was a monster.
Unreal.
So, you got anything else for us?
Another thing with our personnel, with our three wide receivers, I know that the offense is designed for quick hits and then, you know, yards after the catch.
Yes.
But do you see us with our three personnel going deep? You know, I haven't seen Shepard really, you know, go vertical. It's more cross, and is that design, or is that just we don't have the time to kind of throw it down the field, so it doesn't make any sense running that play?
I actually think it's a little bit of both.
I agree with you.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think your deep guys are going to be, you know, once in a while with Odell and Victor Cruz, who really makes a play of a game. Last two he hasn't, but and then you see Roger Lewis in there a couple weeks ago against the Steelers. I think their reasoning behind that is for some quick separation and a little more speed off the ball to get Roger Lewis down the field. He's a lot taller than Victor is, too.
Appreciate the call, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Good stuff. And I just want to build on his point there, because I went back and I looked at all the offensive snaps, too, from Dallas, and you go back to the Browns a couple weeks before that. The Giants have had some opportunities to get the ball down the field.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Eli just hasn't been able to make them.
Well, some of those is Eli. For example, Roger Lewis was wide open for a touchdown last year, but the ball came out of Eli's hands before he threw it. That's on Eli. But you know what? A play before that, he hits Odell Beckham right in the hands with what could have been a touchdown.
Yep.
That's on number 13.
A few weeks ago, Roger Lewis had dropped a long ball, too.
They were one of six on deep passes against Cleveland. They could have hit a couple of big plays in the first half of that game. So they have had some opportunities to make big plays down the field, whether it's the offensive line, and sometimes it is the protection that doesn't give them time to make those throws, or give the offensive coordinator and head coach confidence to make those calls to have them hold the ball for five or seven step drops. Other times receivers are dropping it. Other times Eli's making a bad pass. And I think that's one of the reasons why this team has had the issues they've had, Jeff. They're 30th in the league in big plays.
And I was just going to go.
And that's passes over 20 yards and runs over
10, right?
And when you go back, that's been Eli's bread and butter. And for the reasons I mentioned, they haven't been able to make those plays as consistently this year.
Yeah, it's in here. I saw that. That's exactly what you're talking about, those big plays. They're lacking them. Yeah, I can't find it. This thing is full of stats.
Let's go to Big Ed in Maryland next year on Big Blue Kickoff. What's going on, Big Ed?
So we saw last week, Big Ed.
What's up? It's my guys. Was that fun?
That was fun to meet you, Big Ed. It was good to see you, bro.
Was that amazing? Oh, my gosh, man. It just made me go, you know what? I want to tip my hat off to my team, the team I've supported since the mid-'80s. That just came out and just played their boop off. And it was just awesome. All right, now let's get to the issues that everybody keeps fussing about. Listen, Eric Flowers is going to be a Hall of Fame tackle, okay? Let the man grow into his place.
Well,
he's going to have his problems. He's going to have his hang-ups.
He's still young. Hold on.
He has to now make up his mind and say, I'm going to play professional football, and this is for real.
Hall of Fame.
When he really gets on board, it'll be there. That's all I really have to say. I love Flowers, man. He's great.
Obviously.
He's great as far as I'm concerned.
I don't understand
everybody else, and I'll tell you just like this. Until you become 6'6" and 300-plus and can keep defensive ends out of our quarterback's face, leave a man alone.
All right, Big Ed. Thank you, pal.
You got it?
Yeah, we
got
it.
Okay, now, Detroit. Oh, yeah, Jeff. Tell boy happy birthday. We're going to celebrate big this weekend. My birthday's Sunday.
Okay.
Nice.
That means Giants going to play mistake-free ball. That's what I want as a gift.
Yeah.
That means no turnovers and no penalties.
No penalties.
Do that, you should blow Detroit clean out back to Michigan. And then we can get ready to go to Philly and get a nice cheesesteak.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, all right, Big Ed. Thank you,
pal. Thank you, Big Ed. So we got Eric Flowers going to the Hall of Fame. We've got the Giants committing no penalties.
How about we get Flowers to a Pro Bowl before we start talking about Hall of Fame? I'll sign up for that. All right?
You got to like the optimism behind Big Ed.
I mean, Hall of Fame.
He's awesome.
He's just throwing out, you know, like in games, they have like the t-shirts out of the cannon.
Yeah.
Ed's cannon's got gold jackets in it. It's like gold jacket.
Well, happy birthday, Big Ed, on Sunday, man. Right. We enjoy you coming to the game and saying hello to
us. There is no more positive person that I've ever talked to on the phone than Big Ed and Merrill.
Love it.
That dude loves life,
and
man.
Listen,
God bless him.
He hung out the game last week by our stage for about 30 minutes just watching the show.
And it was cold.
Looking at his, and, yeah, it was cold, too. And we like – hey, for any of the fans that are ever at the game, and make sure if you call into the show and we have never met you before, come by. You got one more chance this year.
Yeah.
Come by and say hello to us anytime.
Well, we think. Maybe we'll squeeze a whole playoff game out somehow.
And that's what I meant. I was asking you earlier, is there a chance? Maybe there might be a chance to get one in there.
I would say low.
Yeah, low, but it may be.
There's a shot.
But I can 100% guarantee that there is one game left in MetLife Stadium, and that's on Sunday, so you can come by.
MetLife Central, right inside the MetLife gate. We start at 11:30. If you want to come by, check it out, and say hello. And the funny thing about the playoff picture, and I don't want to get too far into it here because I want to get to Len, then we got to say goodbye, but the Giants are either going to be the fifth seed, not play a home playoff game at all, or if they win the division, they're probably going to get the bye.
That would be amazing.
Because if they win the division, they have to go either 11-5 or 12-4, which
is going to be the second best,
the top or second best record in the conference. So it's a weird dichotomy here. They can go as to 1-5, but really
in the next 3 weeks,
or 1 or 2-5, and but 3-4 is unlikely.
Depending on what the Cowpokes do, yeah.
Len in Maryland, he's going to wrap us up. I get double Len calls in the same week. What's up, Len?
Hi, Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
How you doing?
Thank you.
Okay. Detroit on Sunday. One game at a time. One game at a time. Let's win this game. Move closer to a playoff berth. I'm not even looking at the Cowboys. Before this season started, I said to myself, listen, 5 seasons in a row without the playoffs would be disastrous. We have got to make the playoffs.
Well, we're close.
Jeff.
Close.
You know, you can't. You're in the bottom 20% of the league.
Yep.
If you go 5 years, 5 seasons.
Maybe. Yeah.
Without making the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm curious to see.
This is just let's win this game on Sunday. No reason why we shouldn't.
I haven't looked it up, Len, but I'm curious how many teams have longer streaks than 5 seasons. I'm not sure what the answer is, to be honest with you.
I don't have that stat, but let me give you this stat. Going into this season, there are 10 teams who have not made the playoffs in the last 4 years.
Oh, okay.
In a 4-year period.
That's a good number.
Okay. All right. Four of them in the NFC.
Let me guess. You got the
Giants.
Rams, the Giants.
Right.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
And the 49ers.
We played them.
The Bears. Okay.
The Bears.
And you
Tampa's on the verge.
And
Tampa's.
Yeah, they are.
Tampa's
Bears,
got a shot.
Rams. And Giants and Bears are on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, if you go to the other conference,
I think the other conference is easier. The other teams,
but three of them are in the AFC East.
So you got the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills, the Jaguars, Titans have got to be on that list too. The Browns have got to be on that list, and I got to imagine the Raiders are on that list.
That's right, and the Raiders got a shot.
Yep. Oh, the Raiders are in the playoffs. So they're making the playoffs.
So now we're down to nine.
Yeah.
Now we're down to nine. If Tampa makes it, it's 8. If the Giants make it, it's 7. If one or the other makes it, it's down. But hey, listen, I don't want to be in that group. That's dismal.
Right.
That's just dismal. I mean, there's no way we can justify it. I mean, that's just an indictment. Come on, let's get to the playoffs. I think we can do it. I think we're going to do it. I'm positive about this. I just want it so bad. I don't want to see this team drop into that group. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Look, Eric Flower, Will Beatty is an $750,000 insurance policy against Flowers getting hurt. As far as I'm concerned, that's why we brought him in.
And I think that's a good way to look at it.
If Flowers gets hurt, you're not doing anything else. If Flowers gets hurt, you play. I think that's the way to. Now, you can look at one or two plays where he comes in as the third tight end. All right, you want to do that, go ahead. I mean, that's fine.
And he's done that.
The goal was you're a backup to Eric. You're a left tackle.
Sure.
You're a backup to Eric Flowers.
That's what I was telling you earlier. That's what they, why, yeah, why they were here.
Jeff, I'm telling you, listen, sharper,
it's that
you're
easy.
Getting sharper as the years go on, Jeff.
I was like, come on, Lando, you even figured that one out.
Yeah. All right. Now, listen, let me say one other thing. One thing that bothers me when the coaches, in this case the offensive line coach, says we're playing our five best guys. I don't think that's really what they might be doing. And I'm not going to make any substitutions here. What they're saying is we're playing the five best options at each of these positions.
You think they're out of position?
This is where we are. This is where we are with eight guys. These are the guys we're going to put on the field to start on Sunday are our best options at that position. I just think that's the way it is. And Flowers is our best option at that position.
No question.
John, let me say, I heard the exchange with Paul, David, and Charlie.
Okay.
And, you know, Paul's one of my favorites. There's nobody does their homework like Paul Dottino does. And I'm a former teacher. I appreciate homework. I appreciate homework. And Paul brings it. Paul does his homework. I mean, I thought he was a little abrupt, John.
Okay. But you know what I'll do? Here's what I'll do, Len. I will go back and listen to it.
I thought the outcome of the call was just a bit questionable.
Okay.
look.
Len wants to throw it up for a booth review.
You guys have, you know, week in and week out, game in and game out, you guys are very fair. It's the reason why I keep listening. If I thought it was all one-sided and you were protecting a point of view, I've been listening for 5 years. I mean, I wouldn't tune in three times a week if I didn't think you guys were going to be fair in your assessment.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
And so I think I think you guys do a good job. All right, come on, Giants. Let's go. Let's win this game. Let's get closer to the playoffs.
No, we're getting close.
No reason why we shouldn't win this game.
Thank
you,
Len.
Come on, Giants.
Appreciate it.
Let's win it.
Thanks, Len.
All right. I guess I have to go back and look at the tape now.
Yeah, we got a lot of a lot of input on that one today. So you might want to go back and look, John.
Well, I heard one side of it. Now I heard the other side of it. So we'll see what happens.
Well, and again, we never want to discourage anybody from calling.
No, we want everybody to call. We love opposing point of views. Again, all we ask is that when you call up and make sure your facts are right.
Right.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. It's
time for everyone's
favorite game. I was wondering if we were
going to
get to it.
Oh, we'll
I like
to
this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Gonna be wow. Cheating.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegels with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
All right, here we go. Ooh, Mr. Fiegels, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. I got two names for you here.
All right, guys, here we go. Let's go. Come on, memory.
Did you play with Kendrick Allen? Kendrick Allen.
I believe I did.
I'm going to need some more detail. You did play with Kendrick Allen.
Of course you need more detail. This is always a four-phase question, or three. Kendrick Allen.
Oh, you have no idea. You just guessed that you
no,
played with him.
No, I do. I remember the name. I'm gonna guess. Wow, 20% chance here.
You have no idea.
I have no idea. But I think it was with the Eagles.
Wrong.
Damn it.
The New York Football Giants.
Kendrick Allen.
2004 and 2005. With the New York Giants.
What was he?
Played in 19 games. Defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle.
So you got that one wrong. Six. I don't know how you forget a guy that's 6'6", 320. It's a big fella.
Well, obviously. Okay, whatever.
He actually had three sacks as a member of the Giants as well in 2004 and 2005.
I remember the name, obviously. Yeah.
All right. Did you play with Andrew Pinnock?
No.
Correct. You did not play
Pinnock.
With Andrew Pinnock, who was a fullback for the San Diego Chargers
see,
from 2003 to 2007.
Do you see a trend here? So I recognize the names, but it's really difficult to put them with the team.
Yes, that
you know
seems
saying?
To be
that seems to be the problem.
Now, see, here's the issue, though. I'm going to have to start picking very simple, basic names of guys you didn't play with. And I think that might, like, oh, did you play with Charles Jones?
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, and I think I need to start finding more of those. But
And if you throw some Smiths in there, that's going to even be more difficult.
Now, right now, I'm in the holiday spirit, so I decided to take it easy on you a little bit.
Okay, well, that's good. So what am I batting? Am I batting 500?
Yeah, you're at 11-9 right now.
All right,
now.
So that's
you're
good.
You're two up going in. And well, actually, hold on. You didn't know when you played with Kendrick Allen, so you got both wrong this week.
No, but I mean, isn't it like a 50-50 kind of thing? I have to get 100%?
No. All I'm asking is that you know what team you're with, so you get an idea on a year. I don't even exact year.
Actually, you know what? The criteria, I think, and we've been going with this, really.
Correct.
It's if there's three, if yes, I got the name, I got to get at least two out of the three.
Correct.
Okay.
And you only got one.
All right, so now I am now 10 and
– No, you were 11 and 11.
11 and 11.
No, you were 10 and 10, excuse
10
me.
And 10.
10 and 10.
Right at 500.
You're at 500.
It's pretty good in baseball.
And by the way, next week's schedule, folks, is going to be all fluky. So I don't know who's hosting what days yet, but I can tell you, unless Lance bails out in the next 5 hours, which hopefully he won't, you'll have Dottino and Lance on Monday. I'll be here with Lance on Tuesday, I think, and then the rest of the week is complete. Actually, I will not be here on Tuesday because both Cross and Deal will be here. So one of those two guys will host on Tuesday, and then we'll figure out the rest of the week because half the crew will be down in Philly next Thursday. The hope is to have Jeff host next Thursday with Lance before they do the pregame show, if you can do that.
Yep, I'm in.
Perfect. See, that's management style. You ask people if they can work on the air. That's generally how they recommend you do these things.
And I could do Friday, my regular Friday, if you need me to. But I'm
yeah,
around.
We'll see. So we'll see.
That's why how we work it here, folks. It's all about giving. It's all about
giving.
Well,
we're a team. One person covers
absolutely.
The other one when they can't work, and we figure
absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely. We do.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you, Johnny.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy Giants and Lions. And again, get comfortable,
gonna
folks.
It's going to be a good one.
You're going to be sitting there into the fourth quarter. This should be a very close game. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you on Sunday. Come out to MetLife Central. Giants pregame, WFAN, comes your way at 11:30.